This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States for the latest from the markets. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Season's greetings and indeed Happy New Year, because this is our last podcast for 2025. Tell me about today. We've had a mixed bag of figures in terms of the U.S. economy.
Yes, that's right. And also just to the listeners as well, and to yourself, Johnny, happy holidays to everyone. And thank you for spending some time listening with us as we go through markets together. It's an ever-changing story. And we got a little bit more statistics this morning. Again, we've been in this interesting dynamic of watching to see if the Fed would be able to cut interest rates. But we've also added some interesting combinations to the mix with the Bank of Japan this week, some drama we had there. We'll talk about that in a moment. Overall, this morning, we had some GDP statistics that were quite interesting out of the United States. The preliminary GDP numbers, which are the second of three. Remember, we have the advanced GDP statistics in the preliminary, and then we get the final GDP for the prior quarter. Well, preliminary GDP today, or the second one, came in at 4.3% for the past quarter compared to the forecast at 3.3%. That is a substantially stronger beat. And just browsing through comments on social media in regards to this, people seem very upset, thinking that this is a disconnected figure to have such strong economic growth. Meanwhile, there are definitely aspects of the economy not performing so well, or people not feeling necessarily that same love. And I think that's actually very indicative when we look at the consumer confidence that came out an hour and a half later, which came in lower than expected. So GDP numbers this morning, very strong. And overall, we saw pretty good statistics out of the U.S. economy in terms of a growth on an absolute basis. This can sometimes feel a little bit like gaslighting, though, simply because you have this feel of, okay, people are not necessarily all doing well, prices are still high, and yet the economic output seems to be coming in so strong. So a little bit disconnected, can feel very K-shaped. If viewers or listeners are familiar with the expression, K-shaped economy, essentially the idea of, you know, the upper class, the wealthy side of things, you know, benefiting, while at the same time you have the lower end consumer not feeling the same love. So I feel that that has been a pretty indicative story of the last few years post-pandemic era, where we've had real estate prices dramatically higher and stock prices dramatically higher, which disproportionately favors the cohort of consumers that owns those things, but not everybody does. So it's an interesting kind of marketplace that we're in terms of the economy. That being said, in terms of what that did to the markets here today, yields are actually higher, which is an ongoing story here recently. Bank of Japan and the U.S. seem to be signaling something one way, and the bond markets seem to be signaling the other. So for example, in the U.S., GDP statistics came in stronger than expected, and yields are moving higher. We know that the Federal Reserve has signaled, you know, rate cuts at a moderate pace, and yet yields have really not moved all that far in the last few years, Johnny. I mean, we have cut interest rates several times, and yet the 10-year yield is not too far off from where it was a few years ago in 2023, 2022. I mean, we've really stayed relatively the same around this 4.2% level on the 10-year yield. So kind of an interesting dynamic. And so, you know, with the consumer confidence coming in lower than expected, it is not surprising perhaps to say that the average consumer does not feel exceptional. And at the same time, inflation remains somewhat sticky, but the Fed still has this mission of cutting interest rates. It's an interesting time in markets, to say the very least.
Now, Nick, we spoke about the Bank of Japan's rate hike last week, and you alluded to it earlier today. That has had an effect on yields, which are moving higher, aren't they?
Yes, and it's an interesting dynamic, because the Bank of Japan is a very important central bank in the sense that it is the fourth largest economy and provides a substantial amount of liquidity to the global financial system. To explain that on a very simple term, Japan offers low interest rates. That has been something that we've talked about many times in the podcast. Them changing that dynamic where they want to hike interest rates to combat inflation and to combat a weakening Japanese yen, has had some interesting things since we last spoke about it on the podcast. The Japanese 10-year bond yield, JGBs, actually yields have spiked recently. We're up to over 2% on the 10-year yield, which is a multi-year high. I think the 30-year yield is at perhaps the highest of the last, 20 plus years. So we have had bond yields in Japan rising dramatically. And at the same time, weakness in the Japanese yen. Kind of an interesting duo, because typically you would think, okay, if they're hiking interest rates, the Japanese yen should strengthen. But it seems that there's an interesting story here where the Japanese yen continues to weaken pretty dramatically despite issues of or signals of rate hikes. Why could that be? Well, the Japanese economy is an aging economy that is also experiencing modest or not so great growth while they have high inflation. And the market seems to be signaling that they think the Bank of Japan is behind the curve in terms of rate hikes. And the bond market specifically seems to be signaling that they think that the Bank of Japan will actually have to capitulate and hike rates more quickly. So it's a very interesting story, and one that I think actually carries some significant risk to the rest of the global financial system. If the Bank of Japan were to go off into a rate hiking cycle very quickly, perhaps say like the US did, which caused a 38% drawdown in the NASDAQ, could it cause some volatility abroad? I think so. So it's something to watch for sure, is to keep an eye on JGB yields and to moderate that situation. Because if that continues to be the narrative of the market, thinking that, you know, Bank of Japan is going to have to hike rates quickly to try and get back ahead of the curve, the market seems to be voting, the bond market seems to be saying they think the Bank of Japan is behind the curve, which is troublesome if they were to play catch up and have to hike rates quickly.
Meanwhile, let's focus on gold and silver. What an incredible year it's been, particularly for silver, which has more than doubled its value over the last year. And the strength of both gold and silver continues.
Yes, that's right. Pretty incredible just to see these things make these kinds of moves. I mean, many people might have expected cryptocurrency to do some sort of move like this year. And yet cryptocurrency has actually been, specifically Bitcoin, has been down in the year. So to see silver up over 130 or 140% at the time of recording this podcast is nothing short of incredible. It's definitely stolen the show this year. It's been precious metals. And I think really going off of what I just said about high national debts, uncertainties from Bank of Japan, et cetera, central banks globally cutting interest rates, but then also high national debts, worries of inflation, geopolitical tensions. There's just been a number of catalysts that have really propelled these things higher. And I think that they are giving us a signal. The question is whether or not it is something we should really pay close attention to or somewhat ignore. But gold and silver making these kinds of moves throughout history historically is not necessarily a very good thing, right? Gold and silver doubling very quickly, specifically silver, sort of signals maybe there's some worries out there about the fiat currency system. Remember that gold versus US dollar going up that much is telling you that people are maybe afraid of the dollar, maybe afraid of most major fiat currencies. We know with our discussion of the Fed and Japan, people are a little bit worried about those very high national debts. Japan, notably, has a very, very high national debt to GDP ratio. So I think it is worries about national debt that are sending gold and silver higher and causing people to have some concern. I do think we should continue to monitor those things and see how they play out in the global financial markets in 2026.
Excellent stuff, Nick. Thank you so much for joining us today and throughout 2025. And I look forward to speaking to you on the other side.
Thanks, Johnny. You too. And again, to listeners, happy holidays and happy new year if you don't hear from us before then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.